This episode is sponsored by ClearQuery. ClearQuery is the analytics for humans platform. With their full suite of features, you can go from data ingestion to automated insights seamlessly. With Ask ClearQuery, you can find valuable insights into your data using plain English. Don't miss the opportunity to simplify your data analytics with ClearQuery. Get started today at clearquery.io/codestory. This episode is sponsored by Kiteworks. Legacy managed file transfer tools lack proper security, putting sensitive data at risk. With Kiteworks MFT, companies can send automated or ad hoc files in a fully integrated, highly secure manner. The solution is FedRAMP moderate authorized by the Department of Defense and has been so since 2017. Step into the future of secure managed file transfer with Kiteworks. Visit kiteworks.com to get started.
We told ourselves that Atomic need to prove us that we need to spend next 10 years, and by proving us that this business idea would work. At the beginning, we just created a landing page where we described what we want to do, and we literally didn't code anything before launching to a market. Within 2 weeks, we got 3 customers, and only after this first iteration of validation, we moved to a second step. It's basically developing the product. This time, we decided to do everything super quickly and as much lean as possible. My name is Roman Celest. I'm founder and CEO of Atomic.
This is Code Story, a podcast bringing you interviews with tech visionaries.
Took 6 months moonlighting.
There's nothing on the back end.
Who share what it takes to change an industry.
I don't exactly know what
to do next.
Took
many goes to get right.
Who built the teams that have their back.
The company is its people.
The teams help each other achieve.
Most proud of our team.
Keeping scalability top of mind.
All that infrastructure was a
pain. Yes, we've been fighting it as we grow.
Total waste of time. The stories you don't read in the headlines.
It's not an easy thing to achieve, mind
you. Took it off the shelf and dusted it off and tried it again.
To ride the ups and downs of the startup life.
You need to really want it.
It's not just about technology.
All this and more on Code Story. I'm your host, Noah Laphart, and today how Roman Sevast created a platform to connect you with designers to get your myriad of design tasks done in a flash. Roman Sevast was born in a small city in Ukraine. When he met his girlfriend, he wanted to take her out to dinner, but he didn't have the money to do so. So he started to learn software engineering to make a little money, and his tech career started. Outside of tech, he loves to play a myriad of different video games and enjoys DJing, either for himself or for his friends. He tends to play techno or house music, but has thrown in some classical music from time to time. 8 years ago, Roman met his co-founder, Stacy, on Tinder. After dating for several years, she showed him some buggy apps she tried to create, and Roman stepped in to help. After a few failed startup attempts, they set out to build a space where companies meet design talent within the same day, and have these designers' projects managed with AI. This is the creation story of Atomic.
We started initially focusing just on design. From one side, we have companies, startups, agencies, basically whatever who is looking for part-time or full-time design or software engineering help. And on other side, we have talents who want to work with the cool companies, have predictable, stable income, and so on. On top of that, we built a software which very similar to tools like Trello or Asana or Jira. For our customers, it's like they using a regular project management tool. They just create a task. For example, they need a logo or development of a website. And the right person who can make it done joins immediately without hiring. So basically, as a customer experience, you just created a task. And on the next day, the human who you didn't know, who didn't you interview with, connects and start working on this task. It's basically AI project manager, which inside our tool, which decides who work on which task and so on. So we don't manage right now on our platform more than 100 full-time talents. And we as a company, we don't manage them. We create a software which manage basically this 100 people department. And yeah, basically that's how it worked. So 8 years ago, I met my co-founder, Stacy, in a Tinder. We've been regularly dating for 3 years. She been chief marketing officer at one big e-commerce brand. And she showed me some of her Shopify apps, which been buggy with ugly interface and so on. And I told her, I can do it in 1 week. Let's launch a startup and we will do a marketing apps for Shopify. That's how we started working together. We had maybe 3-4 different iterations on different business ideas. I visited one country and tried a magic mushroom there. Under this trip, I come up with the idea, we need to launch something globally which would work on the whole world. And after that, we spent around half year of searching a new global idea which we would execute for the next 10 years. And every month we've been testing some new business, validating this idea, see whatever there are potential customer, whatever it's a market big enough to work on the next 10 years on this idea. We initially found this idea from our own pain. We found it's pretty tough to find a good designer, especially if you have like work for a few months, but you need a top-notch design. And we found the problem that really good designers, they always booked in on some full-time jobs and they don't want to change their stability to some part-time gigs. From another side, there are a huge amount of businesses who really need a good design, but they cannot afford full-time design. Basically, they don't have enough tasks for that type of job. And we created this software which can match a designers with customers. Before joining to Atomic as a designer, you need to pass a special test where we validate your design skills and so on. So it's like really top 1% of designers from one side, and on another side, we've been focusing on high quality Silicon Valley startups from the beginning. Basically, some just interesting ideas, products, and so on. And basically, that's how we started.
Tell me about the MVPs, that first version of the product you built. How long did it take to build, and what sort of tools were you using to bring it to life?
When we've been launching Atomic, we told ourselves that Atomic need to prove us that we need to spend next 10 years, and by proving us that this business idea would work. So that's the first kind of like mindset which we've been entering into this business. At the beginning, we just created a landing page where we described what we want to do. And we literally didn't code anything before launching to a market. Within 2 weeks, we got 3 customers. And only after this first iteration of validation, we moved to a second step. It's basically developing the product. Again, learning from the previous mistakes where I've been spending months and over months to develop the first version of MVP, this time we decided to do everything super quickly and as much lean as possible. To develop a first version of Atomic, it took around 3 days. I just sat down in my apartment and started building. I'm a software engineer, so it's been easy for me just work with Stacy closely and go with the flow. I tried to avoid creating everything from scratch. It means like if it's possible to buy some module or open source packages, I would rather use it rather than implement it for myself. That's the first thing. And second thing, I tried not to over-engineering. Maybe from the corporate standard, it'd be not the highest quality code, but I'm writing it very quickly. So within 3 days, we created MVP and started scaling our business.
This episode is sponsored by Kiteworks. Legacy managed file transfer tools are dated and lack the security that today's remote workforce demands. Companies that continue relying on outdated technology put their sensitive data at risk. And that's where Kiteworks comes in. Kiteworks MFT is absolutely the most secure MFT on the market today. It has been FedRAMP moderate authorized by the Department of Defense since 2017. Through FedRAMP, Kiteworks' level of security compliance provides a fast route to CMMC compliance, saving customers time, effort, and money. Kiteworks MFT makes it easy for users to send automated or ad hoc files via fully integrated shared folders and email. Administrators can manage policies in a unified console and create custom integrations using their API. Did we mention it's secure? The level of security with Kiteworks solution is rare to find. Step into the future of secure managed file transfer with Kiteworks. Visit kiteworks.com to get started. That's KiteWorks.com. This episode is sponsored by Cachefly. The web is a competitive place, and if your site delivers its content pixelated, slow, or not at all, well, then you lose. But that's where Cachefly comes in. Cachefly delivers rich media content up to 159% faster than other major CDNs. Through ultra-low latency streaming, lightning-fast gaming, and optimized mobile content, the company offers a variety of benefits. For over 20 years, Cachefly has held a track record for high-performing, ultra-reliable content delivery. While competitors call themselves fast or use cute animal names, only Cachefly holds the record of being the fastest and serves customers like Adobe, the NFL, or Roblox, where content is created by users and must be delivered in real time. For the first time ever, Code Story listeners can get a 5-terabyte CDN for free. Yep, you heard that right, free. Learn more at cachefly.com/codestory. That's cachefly.com/codestory. So then you've got that MVP, it's working, you're getting some traction. I'm curious about how you progressed the product from there and matured it. And I think to wrap that in a box a little bit, what I'm looking for is, okay, how did you build your roadmap? How did you go about deciding, okay, this is the next most important thing to build or to address with Alsamic?
To be honest, we didn't have a roadmap. We've been freestyling for the last 4 years till now, and only right now we're developing multi-quarter roadmap. Our approach always been just listen to our users, talking with them like every week. And even right now, when I'm managing more than 100 people, I still visit sales calls, customer success meetings with our customers. And we try to implement basically almost everything what they ask us if we see that it would match with other customers' pains. And so basically that's been our roadmap. Talk with customers, listen to them, and implement.
Okay, I hear you saying we, and I know you mentioned you and your co-founder, who's also your significant other. I'm curious about other team members. How did you go about building your team at Alsamic, and what do you look for in those people to indicate that they're the winning horses to join you?
So at the beginning, it's been pretty tough because at the point when we launched Alsamic, we almost ran out of our money. So at the first, like I would say, 3-5 months, it's been just me and Stacy and my friend designer who decided to test a new product with us. After that, we decided to took a loan from another our friend who'd been back then our partner in our business, and we took with 40 years yearly percentage rate, ridiculous amount of interest rate. We use this money to hire 2 more designers because based on our calculation, we see that if we would have at least 3 full-time working designers with us, we would fully be able to cover their salaries and our salaries. That means we are not losing money, maybe we are not earning money, but we would be able to keep going on a super low burn rate. We decided to launch a product hunt, and basically our product hunt launch helped us a lot because after that we even had around $1,000 marketing budget. Very important to share because at the beginning we've been looking basically people from our circles, friends of the friends, someone whom you meet in the college and so on, who crazy enough to join like a startup we just like bootstrapping from the beginning. First, our hires been like ex-college grads who just been on their first or second job. They most of them been juniors at the beginning. But in a year of bootstrapping, we raised our first angel round. After that, things become easier. We've been able to hire more senior specialists to our team and keep going. But at the beginning, it's been pretty, pretty tough, and people who've been joining, I'm calling them crazy. And funny thing, we still work together. They like first developer, first designer, first manager, they grow a lot within our company for the last 4 years, from the junior to senior position, and I'm very happy to see how like people with whom you've been starting, they're growing with you.
Hello, welcome to the Data Analytics Club. Do you know the password? No, I didn't know there was one. Do you know how to code? No. Do you know how to query data? Like, ask a question? I guess not. I see. Then you can't be in this club. Sorry. Goodbye. Don't be left out of the Analytics Club. ClearQuery is the analytics for humans platform. With their full suite of features, you can go from data ingestion to automated insights seamlessly. ClearQuery provides you with the information you need without requiring you to do the heavy lifting. Their Ask ClearQuery feature allows you to ask questions in plain English, helping you find relationships and connections in your data that may have previously gone unnoticed. You can even visualize your data with presentation mode, taking your data storytelling to the next level. Pricing is based on storage, not licenses, and that ensures that you get the most bang for your buck. Don't miss the opportunity to simplify data analytics, your data analytics, with ClearQuery. Get started today at clearquery.io/codestory. This episode is sponsored by CashFly. The web is a competitive place, and if your site delivers its content pixelated, slow, or not at all, well, then you lose. But that's where CashFly comes in. CashFly delivers rich media content up to 159% faster than other major CDNs. Through ultra-low latency streaming, lightning-fast gaming, and optimized mobile content, the company offers a variety of benefits. For over 20 years, CashFly has held a track record for high-performing, ultra-reliable content delivery. While competitors call themselves fast or use cute animal names, only CashFly holds the record of being the fastest and serves customers like Adobe, the NFL, or Roblox, where content is created by users and must be delivered in real time. For the first time ever, CodeStory listeners can get a 5 terabyte CDN for free. Yep, you heard that right, free. Learn more at cashfly.com/codestory. That's cachefly.com/codestory. Let's talk about scalability. Did you build this to scale efficiently from day one or with scale in mind? Or have you been having to fight this as you grow in any sort of interesting ways?
Our business is twice harder because we are building a marketplace. We have two types of users. We have designers, engineers, we call them talents. And on the other side, we have companies who buy their services. To scale efficiently, we need to balance at scale in both audience of the users. And I would say the complexity of these scales change from time to time. Sometimes we had, at the beginning, we had a period when we've been lack of designers. Right now, we have thousands of designers applies to us every month, and we focusing mostly on acquiring new customers. Scaling, it's a balancing in between these two types of users, their interest, acquisition channels, and so on. Worth to mention that from financial standpoint, we've been scaling Atomic as much cost efficient as possible. Paul Graham, founder of Y Combinator, an article called Default Alive and Default Dead. So this article describes a concept when you basically earn more than you spend, you are in default alive position. So it means you can operate your business as long as you wish because you have resources to operate this business. There is wisdom that Silicon Valley startups, they should burn tons of money on some unnecessary things like fancy offices. While and especially in Y Combinator, we learned that it's very risky approach, which might not even pay back because there have been a lot of cases when companies running out of the money and they cannot fundraise a next round of investment. They just shut down. I didn't want it to be in such tough position anymore, especially I've been sharing how I've been taking a ridiculous interest rate loan at the beginning of launching Atomic. So I know what is cash gap and I don't want to have it anytime soon in Atomic. So we've been scaling our company in a very bootstrap way, even after we fundraised millions of dollars from investments.
Well, Roman, as you step out on the balcony and you look across all that you've built, what are you most proud of?
I'm proud how we behave in this journey. We really try to give back as much as possible back to the community, especially back to the Ukrainian community. Because so when the war started in Ukraine, back then I've been in the Kyiv capital of Ukraine, and it's been crazy time. Some predicted that would happen, and I prepared, while most of countries, they been not prepared at all, and people did not believe that unfortunately it would happen. Within like first 3 days, what we did, we decided to help with relocation all our Ukrainian talents and their families, dogs, cats, whatever. And within 3 days, we relocated from dangerous city to safest area, around 300 people. That was one of the first things we did. After that, we started making new offices in safer cities in Ukraine where people would be able to come, where there would be electricity, water, and so on. Once we settled down with our own talents and operational team who working, we started helping anyone basically who applied to job to us. So we had one crazy case when one woman, she's designer, she applied to Osamic, and we saw that she applying from basically occupied cities. We know that she in middle of the very devastating war. And before conducting any interview processes and so on, we decided to evacuate her from there. We did some sort of kind of like a secret operation, how we help her get out from Russia, move to Ukraine and so on. We paid fully for that. And there have been few cases like that, helping randomly for just people who asking us for help. So yeah, I'm really proud how we behave in this journey. Another thing that we achieved a significant result pretty quickly. So as I said, like a mid-sized company where around 20 people works right now full-time. We try to do a sustainable business, not VC dependent, even we rise VC investments. It's about journey, I would say.
Let's flip the script a little bit. Tell me about a mistake you made and how you and the team responded to it.
Oh, one of the biggest mistakes we made has been at the beginning, and it's almost killed our startup. So I've been sharing how tough it's been, especially from financial perspective, to launch a startup. We've been in really kind of in cockroach mode when we've been just eating ramen and that's it. It's just me and Stacy and just one designer. And we decided to go to another conference in another city. It's been tech conference, and we thought that this conference we would find some potential customers, maybe investors. We've been just starting thinking whatever we should fundraise, and it's been a huge mistake because we spent all of our money to go to this conference. We received zero sales. We basically got nothing after that. To be honest, we repeated conference visiting a few times later. Once we fundraised it, a year ago, we visited almost every big major conference in Europe and United States, like TechCrunch, Web Summit, and so on. And it also didn't work at all for us. So visiting conference and doing networking, it's a mistake.
What does the future look like for Osamic, the product, and for your team?
Our goal is to have 10,000-20,000 talents connected to our platform who work with different companies and customers around the world. And at this point, we would involve even more. Because so how you would see a typical experience of designer and engineer on a typical freelance platform, I don't know, Upwork, Fiverr, whatever. Basically, you are alone with your problems and you're competing with the other freelancers and talents to get your next customer and so on. Talents, they feel they are enemies to each other. And at Osamic, we try to really rethink the whole process, how the dynamics on talent marketplaces should be. We created AI project manager, which basically decides who would do what and when. As I said, we started from design, but when we see that our AI project manager work extremely good, we started applying this concept on other profession like software engineering. Maybe we'll soon launch something from marketing and so on. We found that our talents, when the user experience inside our app is different, where they are not enemies, but they're like friends who work on the same project, colleagues, that create a completely different tone of communication within community and so on. And we found that our talents, they start making friends together, they celebrating birthday together, they travel together and so on. So I wish one day we would involve not just like a website where people find their job, but maybe in some sort of remote communities, villages, where digital nomads live together, work together, and basically having their best time in life.
Let's switch to you, Roman. Who influences the way that you work? Name a person or many persons or something you look up to and why.
The first one, it's Steve Jobs. He influenced me a lot, especially early days, on his approach to creating the products, on his attention to details. The whole Apple ecosystem and their design affected me extremely a lot. Second one, it's Elon Musk, because Elon also immigrant in United States who start almost with nothing. He's from South Africa, I'm from Ukraine. And he teach me never give up. And basically after each punch you receive from life, just wake up and keep going. His latest achievements, SpaceX company, Tesla. I'm proud owner of the Tesla. I really love this product. Really, it's like amazing technologies. And it's fascinating that one person being able to accumulate so much resources and use them so efficiently compared to other people. So yeah, I can just praise a lot Elon about his accomplishments. And the third one, it's my lifelong partner, Stacy, with whom I met in Tinder and launching a lot of startups together, because it's an amazing journey we are going together. And I'm super happy that I found a soulmate who can help me, assist me. And I'm honored to help and assist her in ways I can. So yeah, there's three people: Steve Jobs, Elon Musk, and Stacy Pavlishin.
Okay, last question, Roman. So you're getting on a plane and you're sitting next to a young entrepreneur who's built the next big thing. They're jazzed about it. They can't wait to show it off to the world and can't wait to show it off to you right there on the plane. What advice do you give that person, having gone down this road a bit?
To do everything faster, like really fast as possible, because time would go extremely fast. You would even unnotice after a few years would just like disappear. Do everything the same, but faster. And funny thing, when I talk with other experienced entrepreneurs, they almost always share the thing. If you would change something in the past of your life, what you would do? And basically, they tell me the same thing. I would not change anything, just do everything faster. Fail fast. If your business or some idea would fail, for you it's better if it would fail fast. Not like spending 3 years and come up to the same result, but spend 1 month, figure out this idea is not working, can go to the next idea. And also never give up. Life would throw a lot of punches in your face. So yeah, never give up.
Well, that's excellent advice. Well, Roman, thank you for being on the show today. Thank you for telling the creation story of Awesomic.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I've been so excited to share my story with you and audience. Thank you.
And this concludes another chapter of Code Story. Code Story is hosted and produced by Noah Labhart. Be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or the podcasting app of your choice. And when you get a chance, leave us a review. Both things help us out tremendously. And thanks again for listening.